All right, and good Tuesday. Welcome into the Chase and Big Joe show right here on 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe still on assignment. Still on assignment. So with that happening, Dr. Crane in studio, the great Ian Safar behind the boards on what's going to be a fantastic Tuesday. Dr. Crane, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, Joseph.
What's happening?
You know, not a whole lot. Recovering from my knee injuries from this past weekend, and we're good.
What happened now?
I fell down a flight of steps, all right? Yeah. Helping my buddy move. I told you about this.
Did you seek medical care?
No, just a guy walking his dog said, "You need help." I was like, "Nope." Pop right back up. Just
how do we fall down?
Well, I miscounted.
Multiple knee injuries, huh? Both knees.
Yeah, both knees. It was pretty rough, Joe. Like to the point where I was bleeding from my kneecaps down to my ankles.
What?
Yeah, I was.
Oh, man. What did your buddy do? Like, does that hurt?
He just said, "You all right?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm good." And then realized I started moving at a slower pace, and yeah, things didn't work.
Well, I realize you're a dear friend, but did he pay you in beer or pizza or anything?
Actually, he came over for pizza afterwards. I was the one that made the pizza. So
back up. So you blow both knees out, helping your friend move. Then you make him pizza.
Yeah. That was kind of the plan before all this. So. Okay. Just yeah, for his family came over. We had a good
just
time.
Joe's taking notes.
I am taking notes of this wonderful human being sitting next to me who has a heart of gold, because I would have fallen down the stairs, cussed, tried to fight somebody, and left.
Well, I actually laughed it off, and my knees were just hurting pretty bad. And the guy goes, "You need help?" I was like, "Nope, I'm good, man. I'm all good." Started walking down the steps, and that's when the blood just started to gush out like the Niagara Falls, man. It was bad.
How's it feel now?
We're sore. We are very sore today. Kneecaps are still pretty swollen, but minus that, we're good.
You're good to go on that.
Smile on my face, ready to go. Ready to have a fun show.
What makes you happy, Dr. Crane?
Yes, a good sunshine. That's what it is. Yeah, nice sunshine outside. People that enjoy radio, that's about it.
I've got somebody already. What's the update on your hog?
Oh,
for those who haven't known, tell everybody this. Sure. Give the genesis of all this.
Yeah, I purchased a Asian Red Waller hog back in January. It has now been slaughtered, and it is now in my freezer. Ate the half rack of ribs, cooked some breakfast sausage, and skillet. Tasted great on the skillet. So, yes, I named this hog. It is a purchase of mine that I was very proud about. Don't care that people, don't like that I, named a hog, but for the fact of the matter, it tasted delicious.
Good. So, how much meat, whatever did you get? Like 80 pounds?
Let's see. Hog ended up weighing about 200. So I got about, roughly 100 pounds to 80 pounds. Because, after they, it's kind of gross, but after the blood drains out of the animal,
you
take out about 20 pounds of that. So I got about 80 pounds. I split the other half down the spine with a buddy of mine.
So. Who's your buddy?
Landon, Johnny's son.
Yeah. Landon got a last name?
Hobbs.
That's right, he does. So where's all this meat now?
It's in my freezer in the garage.
You have 80 pounds of meat in your freezer?
Roughly so. I cooked I cooked the half rack of ribs. So that took up a lot of space, no longer there. And then took up, probably three or four little hot sausages for breakfast. And they're in those giant canisters, the Tennessee Pride that you get at the store.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. It's wrapped like that, and just over the weekend.
What's that? Take home a Tennessee Pride. Is that the commercial?
Something like that. Yeah.
Back in the day, you're so young, you don't remember all that stuff that goes on with that.
It had great sausage, though. Great sausage.
Can we get to our question of the day?
Please.
So yesterday, at the end of the show, we always do what day is it and what, all things are going on. But yesterday was one that we discovered that was like, should have been our question. Hit us at the end of the show. So our question of the day, and we'd love y'all's interaction, 615-737-1025. By the way, this show brought to you by our good friends at the Omni Nashville Hotel. They got a big event tomorrow night. We'll talk about it in just a moment that's going on. But anyway, our question of the day, 615-737-1025, what is your favorite dive bar? Anywhere in the world, what is your favorite dive bar? Because yesterday was National Dive Bar Day. So we want to know your favorite dive bar. Let us know, 615-737-1025. Mine is the Green Parrot Bar in Key West is an amazing dive bar. Dive bar is what it is. It's a place that you're like, I'm not sure I want to go in there. And then you go in there, it's like the best place ever. Green Parrot Bar in Key West is fantastic. Dr. Crane, What is your favorite dive bar?
I'm a man that likes a good collective of everything. Okay. But Mickey's Tavern here in Nashville is pretty solid.
Mickey, where's Mickey's Tavern?
I believe it is
over in the side of town over there.
You know, over yonder, as I like to say.
Mickey's Tavern. Do we know Mickey?
No, I don't know Mickey. I know Mickey Mouse, but that's about it.
Okay, so your favorite. All right.
Yeah, it's off Gallatin Pike.
Off Gallatin Pike. There's a lot of good dive bars around Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, there is. I mean, if you go out way out in the, I wouldn't say the boonies, but.
Say the boonies.
Yeah, you go out in the farmland, you'll find a good dive bar.
Yeah, right.
One that doesn't have a name to it. Those are the best.
Those are anywhere. Like the Donaldson Pub was always like a little good dive bar back in the day. So that's where we're at. Your favorite dive bar, 615-737-1025. Ian, you're a family man. You don't know dive bars, do you?
You know what? I'm not a, not really, but. I'd
man.
Say dive bar, the one that I do kind of like. I don't know if you would consider this a dive bar, a karaoke, Santa's Pub.
Yeah, that's a
thank
dive
you.
Bar.
I've been there.
I was explaining that to Dr. Crane.
I know they accept cash only, Joe. Don't worry. I've been there once.
That's a nice little spot.
Yes, it is.
And then there's one in Franklin that we used to go to a lot called The Pond.
Mm. The Pond, okay.
Yeah, Justin Towns Earl. Used to play there a lot.
Rest in peace, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Back in the day before he...
The Pond.
Hit it big. Yeah. It's not far from downtown Franklin on Hillsborough Road near Franklin High School. Hmm. We used to go there a lot back in the day.
In high school?
No.
That'd have been a better story.
No, it was a buddy of ours from high school, actually. Him and his dad started the bar, Justin Martin.
Shout out to JM.
That's right. And so we used to go there a lot. Not so much anymore these days, now that we're older, but always a good spot.
Love it. See, look at that. The family man came up with two good ones right there. So we want to know what do you think a good one is. 615-737-1025. We'll read. We already got responses coming in. You guys are great. All right. So we know what it is, right? It's time for?
You know.
It's time for the countdown.
Countdown.
It's the final countdown. Yes. Dr. Crane, I know you're young, and who sings this song?
Yeah, Europe.
Attaboy.
Final Countdown. Mike Organ didn't know, but I did.
You impressed. Mike Organ did not know. You're right. Thank you for that. Yeah, Final Countdown. We are 46 days away from the start of college football. 46 days away from the start of college football. With that, we ask, who is your favorite number 46? Is Dr. Crane, there's only one number 46 in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It is a kicker.
Oh.
Lou Groza. Played for the Cleveland Browns back in the day. The only number 46 in the Hall of Fame. The best player, they said, that ever wore 46 is Tim McDonald. Was a safety in the NFL for a long time. He was a really good safety. Also, number 46, Lee Smith, former Cub relief pitcher, actually he's in the Hall of Fame, was a famous number 46 as well. Do you have a famous number 46, Dr. Crane?
Didn't Don Fleming wear 46?
Who's that?
I played, whatchamacallit, for the Cleveland Browns way back in the day.
Don Fleming?
Yeah.
Sounds like a game show host.
No, not a game show host.
Did you look it up and see if that's accurate?
Yeah.
Is
Don
he 46?
He played for the Cleveland Browns. I was just curious if you knew.
Same time?
Yeah. Very true.
Same time? Was it after Lou Groza?
Let's see. 62? 1962? Oh, you weren't born yet, were you?
I was born in 57.
Oh, you were born.
Yeah.
You should know this, Joe.
Don Fleming is a safety. Okay.
Yeah. Come on, man. That's your history. It's your livelihood.
He was named... Fleming's career was tragically cut short. He was in a car accident.
Well,
Don Fleming,
46.
Andy Pettit for the Yankees was number 46.
Yep.
Todd Christensen, the great tight end for the Raiders, was also number 46. May he rest in peace as well. He won two Super Bowls. There's others on this list too as well that I've never heard of. Lou the Toe Groza.
Mm-hmm.
Although most of them wore number 76, Hall of Famer also wore 46. He's in the Hall of Fame as number 46, which doesn't make sense.
Didn't there's a player for the Lions, I believe, running back recently. Reynolds?
I have no idea.
Oh, I'll look up his name. It's starting to escape me. Hang on one second. Reynolds.
Reynolds Rapp?
Craig Reynolds. He's like a third string running back, but yes, that he wore 46 for the Detroit Lions.
How the hell would you know that?
Just fantasy guy. I don't know. It just popped in my brain, you know, numbers, shapes, pictures. I don't know.
Number 46 for the Titans. You know who's wearing 46 right now?
Tough. Probably a rookie.
Nope. The Titans player who wore, he was named ESPN's all quarter century team.
Morgan Cox.
Long snapper.
Yep.
46 is kind of a random number.
Yeah.
That one doesn't really, I can't really think of anybody that stands out with a 46.
Nobody picks 46 when they're playing Little League football. I want 46. Nobody ever does that. So 46, yeah, Morgan Cox. Look at Ian knowing this team backward and forward.
It's just, like Ian says, an uncommon number.
Yeah, 46 is kind of a random one. 47 yeah. feels a little bit better. I remember 47. Radulov on 47, Alexander Radulov.
Yeah.
But 46, nothing really stands out.
It's usually the odd numbers. I was always put odd numbers when I played, so I always liked that, 75 or 49 on that. Tennessean's got a list of best players who were 46, but then you go and there's these things called pop-up ads that really infuriate you, and then you don't know what you're doing. You lose your place in line, and you go back again, and there's another pop-up ad that goes on.
Like you said to me, make sure you got hymns to fix that.
I got 46. Josh Kalou.
Oh, yeah, he blocked the kick against the Chiefs.
Yeah. Joshua Kalou, I'm sorry.
Nebraska guy.
Week 10 of the 2019 season, he blocked a game-tying last-minute field goal against the Chiefs in a 35-32 win.
Yeah.
I do remember that, yeah.
I wonder what he's doing now. He probably got yelled at by Vrabel because he didn't have proper form when he blocked the field goal.
Josh Kalou is...
And Vrabel called him soft, and then he was gone.
He's now wearing number 47. He's still with the Titans.
Josh Kalou?
That's what it says on Wikipedia.
Did he ever leave the Titans?
It says here...
He had to have left, right?
He did leave, actually. The Commanders were his last team in 23. Excuse me. Yeah, sorry.
So he's not with the Titans?
No, he's not. It said initially, I got to start clicking stuff. I got to start clicking on things, okay?
Oh, you're the best, man.
I'm trying to be quick with it, you know, because Joe's been like, oh, you're slow McGee over here.
You're the best.
Oh,
my goodness. All right, we're off and running in here. When we come back, Dr. Crane found there's a top 10 list, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we love lists during the summertime, and it's the best defensive tackles in football. And there's one on there that probably shouldn't be on there that's one that we know very well. Right?
Yeah, very true.
And we'll talk about that. It's we'll call that a tease in the business.
It is a tease.
All right, you're listening to the Chase and Big Joe Show. We're off and running, brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel right here on 102.5 The Game.
For real country sausage, the best you ever tried. Pick up a pound or two of Tennessee Pride.
Tennessee Pride fresh sausage links made with the best cuts of pork, meaning we use all the hams, loins, and tenderloins all the time. From the skillet to your plate, they're packed full of fresh country flavor. Tasty Tennessee Pride fresh sausage links.
Take home a package of Tennessee Pride.
Yes! Oh.
You won't get no dessert till you clean off your plate, so eat it.
Oh, keep going. In honor of Dr. Crane's long forgotten pig.
Skillet. On a skillet. Absolutely delicious.
Great pull, Ian, grabbing that commercial. Take home package of Tennessee Pride. Hey-hee-how. Yeah, is that what you have in your freezer?
Yeah, I actually have a tenderloin. It mentioned tenderloin. I have one of those as well.
What part of the pig is a tenderloin?
What is that part of the...
What are you looking at me for? I don't know. I'm asking you.
I haven't even said a word yet, Joe.
You're like, I don't know.
I
mean,
no, what? I said I think it's part of the like leg, right?
That okay. I don't know. It's your pig, man.
I have to go look at the diagram again, all right?
I love the diagram you sent us, which is fantastic. Yeah. We'll get in this top 10 list in a minute, but you guys are all weighing on the favorite dive bar.
Yep.
What is your favorite dive bar? Let's see. Go down here. The pain. Oh, wait. Not the filling station in Kingston Springs, Tennessee. I've actually heard about that one. I heard it's fantastic. The filling station in Kingston Springs,
sounded out. You got it, Jim.
Tennessee. The Abbey in New Orleans is one. Thank you, Nevada Josh. A good dive bar. Famous, your favorite dive bar, which is going on. And my computer, once again, is locked. I love this when it locks up like that and I can't go down any further. Let's get this here.
Do you like what, lockjaw?
I don't know.
It looks like the loin is the upper back. Top part, kind of where the fin might be if you were a shark.
Yeah, it sounds about
right. According to this quick chart here.
I guess. That's a thin tenderloin that they gave me then. Man. Yikes, I got gypped. That's not good.
How do you know you got gypped, you think so?
I think I got gypped.
Because
tenderloin was supposed to be pretty thick and meaty. And the one I got, it Looks like you get it out of the
It says
woods.
It's known for being the most tender and lean part of the loin.
Yeah.
Yes. The muscle that runs along the spine.
Yeah. Yeah, I got gypped.
Tenderness and mild flavor.
Yeah, I got gypped.
Your own uncle gypped
you. No, my uncle didn't gyp me. I think because I split it with somebody, they split the tenderloin right down the middle. So that's kind of what happened. I got gypped. I should not have split the hog. Should have just took the whole thing. I got greedy. I should have got greedy. I mean, yeah.
Maybe next time you should name that hog Greedy as a reminder not to be greedy.
Well, I should be greedy when it comes to a hog.
Shouldn't.
Yeah, I should be. For this hog, yeah, absolutely.
All right, a few more dive bars. Joey from Bellevue says, my favorite is a beer garden attached to the clubhouse by the soccer field in a town named Darmstadt, where I played soccer in Germany. You've heard of that place there?
Never heard of Darmstadt.
Okay. All right,
well, sounds like a nice place.
Hair Metal Henry, I'm sure he's got 1,000 dive bars. All he does is drink. Dino's and Schulman's are the best around here, and to take it a step further, the missus for Christmas bought me a Dive Bar of the Month t-shirt club. You get a shirt, a sticker, and a postcard explaining the history of the dive bar. Best Christmas gift ever. All right, you got to send me a picture of this, Henry. You can be a member of a member bought me a Dive Bar of the Month t-shirt club.
Wow, so it's a membership.
Yeah, it'd be kind of cool there with all that.
Kind of like the Jelly of the Month club, you know, with Christmas vacation.
Yeah, exactly. So you could have all that stuff that goes on with it. Or you have access to the text line over there?
I do. Finally.
Somebody waiting. Our favorite number 46, Preds legend Pontus Aberg, number 46.
Legend.
Absolute legend, right? Thank you, 9712, who also says, is JB's Poorhouse count as a dive bar? My friend, if you think it's a dive bar, then you can say it's a dive bar.
Okay.
How that works, right?
I guess it does.
But you said your dive bar was Brown's Diner.
Well, no. It has the vibe of like a hole-in-the-wall dive bar. I love Brown's Diner. Great cheeseburger. Like, can't go wrong with it. Obviously, it's not a dive bar, but, like, that hole-in-the-wall vibe, it kind of, I'd say, is in the same category as a dive bar. Right, Ian?
You know what? I've never been to Brown's Diner.
Oh.
So, I'd love to back you on that, but I'm not quite sure.
Well, I'm just saying in general, like the whole synopsis of, you know, a dive bar and a diner, that the diner kind of has a resemblance of.
Sure. Old school kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
But usually the dive bar part is like, you know, smaller, dark,
yeah.
A little grungy.
Grungy's a good word.
Maybe smoky.
It's got a little
like,
grunge.
Should I go in here? And then you go in there and realize, like, this is the greatest place on earth.
Yeah.
Gene in Spring Hill says the Dinghy Bar in Utica, New York. You heard of that place?
Utica. That it's Utica in New York.
Is it Utica?
It's
Utica.
Utica.
Chip from Mount Juliet says the Hog's Breath in Destin many years ago is a great place, great dive bar.
Sounds like Skillet's favorite place.
It does.
It does. The original Corner Pub in Green Hills is one that goes on.
Parking's awful there.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
We got one of the listeners has texted in a pork tenderloin is a long, narrow, and cylindrical cut of meat. About 1 inch. It weighs between 1 and 1.5 pounds. It's known for being the most tender cut of pork.
Yeah, it is.
Look at you guys are
you
fantastic.
You put it in a crock pot. It's really good.
That is 0247. Thank you.
Thank you.
For all that, letting it know to do that. All right, so bring your list up. Jeremy Simmons made this list.
Jeremy Fowler with ESPN. You said Jeremy Simmons.
Simmons.
Jeffrey Simmons.
Okay.
You know, plays for the Titans.
He does.
Yeah, I don't know if you knew that or not.
Or do not.
This is the top 10 list of defensive tackles here in the NFL. Jeffrey Simmons is at number 4.
All right. Do you like this list as number 4, Simmons?
I mean, I think they're solely giving him the, I guess, credibility to be at number 4 because of his, you know, his name. I think you got to actually show production on the field to be listed at a top 5 on a list.
All right. What's production for you?
Getting sacks, getting pressure to the quarterback.
Here we go. I'm going to argue you like I do Chase.
What?
Jeffrey Simmons' job is not to get sacks.
Dude.
Every defensive lineman's job is not to get sacks.
If
do you not know this?
If you're a first-round, second-round pick, top 3 rounds, and you're a defensive tackle, and you're not going after the quarterback, that's a problem.
Nobody says he's not going after the quarterback. But the job of an interior defensive lineman is to keep those guys off your linebackers.
Okay, question
That's your job.
No, question you. Tavondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons, whose responsibility is it to get to the quarterback?
Everybody.
No.
All
no,
of
no.
them.
No. No political answers. No. Out of those two, who is responsible to get into the quarterback? If you say Jeffrey Simmons is not responsible for getting sacks.
No, that's your job. But you. I ask you what stat. All right, no quarterback sacks. That's not his job. If you get a quarterback sack, that's a benefit of him creating chaos. But the interior lineman's job is not to get sacks.
Well, for this...
It's to create massive amounts of chaos in the interior and let guys make plays.
Then what's the point of bringing in T'Vondre Sweat if he takes up two men? It's supposed to open
even
up...
Even better.
It's supposed to open up an interior lineman, correct?
You need two, maybe four guys to rotate in to do that. You need that. You need guys to rotate. You need two massive guys in the interior.
Okay.
I watched this thing of Aaron Donald, right, before he retired. His best plays. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see that. They showed his five best plays. He was triple teamed on all plays. You know what it did? It opened up for the outside linebacker or the other interior guy to get a sack.
Yeah.
He created massive amounts of chaos. If Jeffrey Simmons gets no sacks, but guys to the left or right of him are getting sacks and they're getting pressure, I have no problem with that. Everybody's hung up on his sack numbers. He's not an outside linebacker.
Everybody treats him like the next Aaron Donald, so you need to live up to that, in my opinion. And Aaron Donald, like you said, triple teamed, didn't get the quarterback a lot. But in this defense specifically for me, and this is just my opinion,
right?
Jeffrey Simmons needs to be producing week in and week out, and that's at least getting, you know, two or three tackles a game, four, five, maybe a sack in there every once in a while. You can't be just looking at a defense as a whole and allowing him to be the, I guess, crutch for other players. You just can't look at it that way. You're in year seven, and you're a veteran, and yet – you don't have much to show for your name? Come on. He had one good season. That was, what, 2019? Is that right?
Okay.
That's it. That's all he's got. And we're claiming him to
what,
be...
What determines a good season for you? Sacks? Is that what it is? That's what it is.
Yeah.
All y'all care about is sacks from an interior lineman, and that's not his job. If he gets sacks, fantastic.
The reason being, Joe, is because edge rushers for this team have been obsolete.
Not Jeffrey Simmons' fault.
Then he has to step up as an interior defensive lineman.
Maybe he's doing all he can to get in there. Y'all are so just worried about the sack number for this guy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not the biggest fan. I think he's a jerk off the field. I don't – all that stuff. And he goes after radio people. I think that's sad, and he pays attention to social media way too much. I get all that. But at the same time, I mean, I'm not looking at him to be like, get 12 sacks this year.
Well, I mean, 12 sacks is a bit steep.
Here's an example. Howie Long went to Raiders camp in 1981. He was a second-round draft choice out of Villanova. They're doing 11-on-11. Raiders offense goes right by him, and they get like a 20-yard gain. And they look back, and Howie Long is literally beating the snot out of the guard. And they said, what are you doing? Why did you let the tackle go? He's like, oh, I thought I was just supposed to whip this guy in front of me, and that was it, and let go. I'm like, no, you got to make a tackle. He learned how to adapt to that. Howie Long did. Greatest, one of the players of all time. Simmons creates that chaos, whips a guy in front of him, and frees linebackers to make plays. I'm good with that. And then they're not running inside anymore. They're running outside. Then you adapt to get him outside. I don't know the problem with all this, people losing their mind about this. We got so fixated on stats. Stats, 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 stats. It's just nonsense.
Maybe it's just me being ignorant when saying this, but just the lack of production from the Titans' defense in the last couple seasons, and then having one of your best players be glorified as like one of the best defensive tackles in all the NFL, and yet there's no production to show behind it statistically, it's a bit concerning.
How much thought you put Jeremy Fowler put in this top 10 list?
Probably about 2 hours.
Who's number one?
I believe it was Dexter. Dexter Lawrence.
Number two?
Yeah, number two is... Chris Jones, another Mississippi State guy. And number three, Jalen Carter with the Eagles. I mean, that guy should probably be number two.
All right, who's five?
Number four is Jeffrey Simmons. Number five is Quinnen Williams, the Jets.
Okay.
Probably will drop after this season.
Give me who's six?
Leonard Williams of the Seattle Seahawks.
Better than Simmons?
Yeah.
All right, who's seven?
Seven is Matabuke with the Ravens.
Better than Simmons?
Probably not.
Eight.
Eight, DeForest Buckner. That one, I like DeForest Buckner, but yet a little bit more needs to be.
Where's he now?
With the Colts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's not as good as DeForest Kelly. Who's number nine?
Number nine is Vita Vea with the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Should be way up.
Yeah, I think so.
So, again, Fowler probably put no thought in this. Like, hey, we need that list by one. Get it to you soon, boss.
Yeah, it ruffles the feathers of people like me.
Where would you put Simmons? Does Simmons belong in the top 10?
9.
Okay. So he's still a top 10 player.
Respectable?
I'm asking you. I don't know.
I mean, I think 9's fair.
Okay.
I mean, it basically reflects his statistical numbers.
Here we go.
I'm just saying from a statistical standpoint, Joseph.
Here we go. Who's the famous person said stats are for losers? I forget who said that.
I don't know, but I know football is all X's and O's. Put your hand in the mud. Go at it until your head goes crazy. I understand that. But at the same time, you have to have a balance. And when the balance of you're doing a really good job, but yet the stats don't reflect it, something's got to give.
For an interior lineman?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, then. So he belongs in the top 10?
Sure. Yep.
All right.
Number 9.
Well, we'll see him out at camp in 2 weeks. Okay. I'll bring that up. I'll say, you know what? This guy named Dr. Crane.
And
Jeffrey,
you know what? I don't care about this at all. I'll put the pads on. I'm good with it.
Go at him.
I'll take him one-on-one.
One shot?
Sure.
Okay.
Not all Oklahoma right. drill, though. All right. That's outlawed.
Oh, by the way, Oklahoma drill has made many a basketball player.
Oh, really? Really? Well, you know what? I'm not a basketball player.
Do you know how that drill made many basketball players?
Why is that?
Because it's a brutal football drill, and people realize, I don't want to play football. I'd really go out for basketball.
I mean, it's a part of football. I mean, it's just outlawed, but I did it back in the day.
We all did it back in the day. It should not be outlawed. I think some still do it. I would do it all the time.
I think you got to do it in a better technique. You just can't go one-on-one. You know what I mean?
Why not?
I think, you know, head-on collisions are not good for the body. I mean, look what it's done to me.
Well, it teaches what's it done to you?
My brain's an absolute scramble.
No, you're the smartest guy. No, it's not.
No, absolutely not.
Oklahoma drill's fine. Mm. It's fine. I mean, let's still do it today. Learn not to hit with your helmet. I learned not to with my helmet.
Yeah, take your head out of the play. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, shoulder, everything else. Helmet's protection. You learn.
It's true.
If a good coach teaches you how to tackle, you're good to go.
I think now they're starting to make the Oklahoma drill, it's kind of deviated a little bit. They do it at an angle where you're on your back, you turn normally, you go straight. Now you're starting to go at an angle to just suppress the blow.
I wouldn't do that drill.
Well, that's what they're doing.
I'd one-on-one.
Because you know what it teaches? Bad tackling technique. It teaches you to barrel roll.
Well, if you have a good coach, they should teach you how to tackle properly.
I mean, yeah, I agree.
Football has never been as safe as it is right now. Never. I showed you that helmet I got in there from MTSU, the new helmet.
Yeah, it's nice.
That's like a tank.
Yeah.
And the guy across the line's wearing the same helmet. I mean, so it's football is safe. But now you got to teach people how to tackle. That's a whole other show, buddy. Mm-hmm. All right. So you agree Simmons is the top 10?
Yeah, number 9.
But not number 4?
No.
Okay.
I don't even think he's top 5. No.
Ouch. Okay.
Prove it. Just prove it. That's all you got to do is prove it.
Well, he'll do it again in 2 months.
Good.
I hope he has a picture of you in his locker.
Good. I hope he does. I really do.
You and Buck Rising has a picture in his locker.
I hope he has a picture of me. You know what? I'll give him a pizza. you know what, Jeff? I'll give you a pizza. How about that?
All right, we'll do that. All right. We'll take a break here when we come back. There's just another surprising stat that goes out there about SEC football coaches. Their career record in the top 25. There's a fascinating one in there that, with college football being 46 days out, that I want you guys to know about. Again, we're off and running. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show right here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by the Omni National Hotel. All right, welcome back here to the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe on assignment all week. Nick Frazier sitting in. Our question of the day is, what is your favorite dive bar? A lot of great responses in honor of National Dive Bar yesterday at 615-737-1025. All right, you got a text from the Midday Show, right? What did it say?
Adam Vingan texts me. How about that? Adam Vingan. He said, Big Joe is wrong about the list and how it's formed. This wasn't Fowler's opinion. He surveyed the league's people. Read the screenshots.
All right, let's go back and do this. There was a problem in college football years ago when college football coaches were picking the top 25. It came to find out that they were letting the graduate assistants pick the top 25 because they didn't care. You contact me in June for a top 25 list on vacation. Jeffrey Simmons. There is no thought behind this list, Adam. There's no thought put in there because it's just that's not how it's done. And I've talked to these people that sometimes on these lists, like, I just threw a name out there because I'm busy. There's no, these lists, we love them because it garners this conversation. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's no real depth to it. So Simmons could be 4th, 2nd, 9th, or 19th. It doesn't matter. Y'all get so fixated on sacks and not disruptions and what the guy brings. And that's fine because that's y'all's generation. Y'all get lost in the analytics, which I think is a nerd, terrible way to approach things. I think it's awful. The guy, analytics. And we get lost about, can he or can he not whip your ass on the football field? That's the bottom line. And that's what we've gotten away from. So this list, we like talking about it, it's fun. There's no really pure thought put into it. When you're telling me a guy at number nine should be at number two, what does that tell you?
There's not a lot of thought in the list.
Yeah, I mean, Vita Vey should be probably two or three, right?
Yeah, I'd say top five for sure.
And you're like Jeffrey Simmons being number four. But you're like, oh, yeah, Jeffrey Simmons. Get a bottle of triple sec while you're at it. I mean, it's just, it doesn't matter. It's fun fodder in the summertime.
Right.
That's all it is.
You feel better?
No, I just think, no, we could, I mean, I lists are fun, all right? Them. I mean, we bring them up all the time because it's good for talk shows and major jobs. Nothing going on.
The biggest bone I have to pick about the whole Jeffrey Simmons, when people compare him to Aaron Donald, like after a year through with Aaron Donald, he had what, a multi-sack year, like double digits? Roughly, let me look real quick.
I don't know. Well, why are we comparing him to Aaron Donald?
But just that's what the whole national media does. When they see an animal behemoth of Jeffrey Simmons, who's incredible on the field to some degree when it comes to, you know, name, I think he has to live up to that expectation.
Donald definitely had high sack numbers for an inside guy.
Yeah, he was a much better player than Jeffrey Simmons. It's the added benefit. The sack is the added benefit of being a great player.
Then – my question is then, why are we comparing him to Aaron Donald? I know you just said that, but
I'm not.
I'm just saying, why does the national media compare him to Aaron Donald?
He's like the, you know, number one you aspire to, right? Donald as a defensive tackle, that's who everyone wants to kind of be.
Well, then if you want to be like that, then practice like that. Like, have it multi-sack years. I don't know how else to say it than rather than get open. I know Joe has mentioned already that Jeffrey Simmons has to get open from, you know, other people taking on the pressure. I mean, for me, if it's Tavondre Sweat next to him, have him be double teamed, and then Jeffrey Simmons. But
people, well, how do you have him be double teamed?
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that it's hard to do that because people are going to double team Jeffrey Simmons for the ability he has.
Well, good. All right, that takes another guy out of the play and let Sweat do his damage, and there's one less guy. Then you should have a guy who make a play around him. He is a disruptor. Right? Aaron Donald was a unique, one of the best ever. Simmons is not that level, but he's a good player.
Here's the deal. If he's a disruptor, don't pay him the big money. Simple as that. That means the Titans have their priorities all wrong.
He was up there with he got paid with the other defensive linemen in that time frame. So
exactly. It had to happen in that time frame with another defensive lineman because that's the highest your stock will be.
Okay.
I'm just saying, if you want to be good on the books, you got to prioritize your players properly. I mean, I'm going to, you know.
So you were of the mind not signing Simmons at all?
I mean, to a smaller deal, like money financially. I mean, you're going to go sign Jeffrey Simmons to do that when you could have a generational talent in A.J. Brown that could have changed a lot of stuff on your offense?
That's tomatoes, man. He's already gone.
Well, but that's what I'm saying is, like, I mean, it's easy to go back and look. You could easily sign this guy, sign that guy. But, like, seriously, Titans drafted A.J. Brown, and he was phenomenal in his rookie deal. Ends up leaving to go to the Eagles. And then you have Jeffrey Simmons, who was good. But that's all the Titans really had at the time. Think about it. I mean, from a PR standpoint, to really bring in the tickets, you only have is Jeffrey Simmons. You don't have a franchise quarterback. You don't have a franchise wide receiver. You had Derrick Henry. You're riding the coattails of that. So you got to sign a guy like Jeffrey Simmons. That's all you got. Simple as that.
Well, I mean, I think he is a top-tier defensive lineman. Even Tommy says, hey, defensive tackle is not about sacks. You sound like Jared, man. It's about the double teams and the run stuff. There you go.
Well, not Jared Stillman, I'll tell you that much.
Now, if you get an outside linebacker and he gives me no sacks, then get out of here, which the Titans had plenty of those boneheads.
Yeah.
Like Arden Key sucks. Shouldn't be on the team.
Vic
terrible.
Beasley was short.
Terrible.
Stint. Yeah, Damian Clowney,
that's your
stint.
Job. But I'll take Simmons over probably 98% of other guys in the league.
The problem is this year, they need him to get sacks because there's nobody else.
Not his fault?
No, not necessarily. But he's been put in the position where he's like the best defensive lineman and there's no one else to get sacks.
Yeah, right. I get that. But at the end of the day, he should not. If he gets 12 sacks, that's fantastic. That's what I'm trying to make. That's an added benefit. Which is redundant, a benefit of having him on the team and what he could do.
But for you, when you say it's the benefit, that's the expectation for the national media. The national media,
do you
expectation.
Care what they say?
No, but I mean, they kind of set the standard a little bit, just a little bit when it comes to sports.
How many sacks did Vita Vey have last year?
Let me look that up for you, Joe.
He didn't have many.
I was on the spot.
Oh, well, look at that. Seven, career high.
Seven sacks.
Yes.
And that's a damn good defense he's on in Tampa, too.
That was, yeah, I guess that was a career-high seven last year.
Well, what do you know?
How does he get that so quick? I mean,
because it's Ian.
Well, I have the list pulled up, and they have it on the list. Wow. He said he slimmed Vita Vea slimmed down last offseason, and the result was a career-high seven sacks.
Well, Jeffrey Simmons slimmed down, so does that mean possibly
this year he's looking for a higher sack number?
Maybe so.
Yeah, I get all that. 0042 says AD moved around a lot, as did J.J. Watt, who played the three at times. Simmons is a really good DT. He's not an edge caliber player. No, he's not. He's a defensive tackle.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
And that's the whole point. I just, if he creates the chaos for me, him and Sweat, where you're not running up the middle on, you got to bounce everything outside, then you're winning. Then you could say, all right, they're not coming inside. They're going to go outside. We're going to get these guys. And it frees people up to make tackles. You want your linebackers to run downhill. And if Simmons is creating an opportunity to do that, that's all it takes.
I don't know. I'm just stuck in no man's land when it comes to looking at Jeffrey Simmons, because, like, on the field, when you don't have anybody to help you, that's the issue. He has nobody to help him around him.
Ben likes your point. Poor attitude and leadership, and overpaid for what Jeffrey Simmons gives you. He can be one of the top DLs and still not be worth any of it.
I just think you got to prioritize your money.
And look what's happened to us because of Jeremy Fowler's list.
Well,
I mean, he's getting us. He separated us. That's what's happened. All of us, me, you, and Ian. We were all had a good little hour pre-show meeting, and now we're all at each other's throats.
Is that McConaughey or Owen Wilson?
That was Ian Safar.
Oh, okay.
That's what's going on there. People weighing in. Bannell says he definitely doesn't deserve to be signed a new deal with the Titans whenever that time comes. I don't think he'll be in line for a new deal. I think they'll be letting him go. Yeah. We go back to last year at camp when he got in a fight the first play game of camp, and Callahan kept him in when his ass should have been tossed from practice. And I remember talking to Chase. I said, I'm going to change my prediction from 5-12 to 3-14 because – they were letting him control things. There was not coaching. I thought it was really bad.
You're paying a guy all this money and you're letting him control your defense. I mean, if he's a captain, sure, but when you act like that, hasta luego.
But I still think he deserves being a top 10 because there's not that many great interior defensive linemen.
Top 10, yeah, not top 5.
He's 4. Won't you tweet to Fowler and say, look what you've done to our show, man. You've ripped us apart.
Oh, no, he won't reach out to me.
Tell him who you are.
I'm a nobody to
him. You are. All right, we'll get back in that a little bit later on again. What's your favorite dive bar is our question of the day, 615-737-1025. All right, I'll read that list coming up about SEC head coaches and their records versus top 25 teams. I'm telling you, this is another list, Adam, that's fascinating, and we'll read it coming up next right here. This is Chase and Big Joe Show, 1025 The Game. You ready? You ready?
Yeah.
Ah, what a good song. Thank you, Ian. Welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show here right here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel in the Busy Bee Studio. A lot of interaction on our text line about Jeffrey Simmons and about your favorite dive bar and all that good stuff. We'll get back to that in just a little bit. I wonder this list that I found. Another list. Hey, Adam, are you listening? I got another list. This is SEC head coach career records versus top 25 teams. There are 16 SEC coaches, right?
Yes.
How many SEC coaches have a top 500 or 500 better record against top 25 teams
overall? There's 16 of them?
Yep. How many of the 16 have a greater than 500 record versus top 25 teams?
5.
Not a bad little thing. 2.
Oh.
Kalen DeBoer is 15-3 versus top 25 teams.
A little skewed there.
It is a little bit. Kirby Smart, 37-15.
I'll take that.
After that, it's a 500 record from Josh Heupel. He's 12-12 against top 25 teams. Brian Kelly, 35-37. Steve Sarkisian, 21-33. Brent Venables at Oklahoma, 4-7. Eli Drinkwitz, 7-14. Mike Elko, 3-6. Shane Beamer, 7-15. The most overrated college football coach of all time, Lane Kiffin, is 11-24 versus top 25 schools.
Can't win the big one.
And your boy, Jeff Lebby.
Oh, he's down at the bottom of the barrel.
He is 0-6.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Above him, Clark Lee is 2-15. Yeah. But But one of those top fifth, one of those two wins.
Alabama.
Yeah. What was Alabama ranked at that time?
Numero uno.
That's right, number one. Hugh Freeze is right below Lane Kiffin and overrated coaches. He's 10-32. Hugh Freeze has a 24% winning percentage versus top 25 teams, and they're paying him so much money. Sam Pittman is a 24%. But only two SEC coaches, and you're right, the DeBoer one is a little bit skewed. He's got 83%.
He was out west. And also, too, he was what? Division one, whatever. He was like one of the most winningest coaches before he went to Washington.
Yeah, he was good. I mean, he's won everywhere he's been. He's recruiting like fire right now. He's secured a bunch of people that's going on.
I look at the competition out west as like meh. It's not as great as the South. You know what I mean?
Right.
You can't go – I mean, you can, but like it's just not great. It really isn't. That's why I said it on the weekend show, and I've said it multiple times – DeBoer's gone after this year. If they go 8-4, 7-5, gone.
You think he's gone?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I think so.
Kirby Smart, 73% winning percentage against top 25 teams. But then you get down and see, I mean, you look at Kiffin, 11-24. I'm telling you, he is so overrated as a football coach. And y'all all fall for it. Ah, he's funny. Nick Saban's disciple, he's funny. He's a terrible head coach. Terrible head coach.
But it brings in the Bills.
I guess. He had the most, Rex Road could probably verify this. I think they had the most money NIL on players last year, starting players, and they still couldn't do anything. Got beat by a very bad Florida team and knocked out.
Got beat by Kentucky.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. They did that. So you look at that, and then Freeze at 24%, Kiffin at 31%. Just terrible. I mean, these are, and they're paying these guys. Billy Napier at Florida.
I honestly don't know how he, like, has kept his job at Florida. That, to me, should have been gone a long time ago.
5-18 versus top 25 teams.
Yeah, that's bad.
Just awful with that being. Now, what about Shane Beamer? He's 7-15. Do you like South Carolina? They got a little umph.
Everybody's all high on Lenore Sellers. Like, yeah, he's probably going to be really good this year. At the same time, though, just give a little bit. I don't think they're going to go win 9 games. I think they'll probably end up 8-4, 7-5.
See, you're doing the same talk they did for Jaden Daniels at LSU in 2023, was it? When he was and he's – this quarterback at USC is good.
I mean –
and I say USC because it's the South. Yeah. Whatever I want.
I don't mind being wrong, but, like, I just don't see the huge ceiling for South Carolina as a team when it comes to this season. I see a big ceiling for Lenore Sellers. He's a good quarterback. But as for the whole team, come on.
I think if South Carolina got in the playoff last year, they'd have wreaked havoc. But that's why you got to win your games. You beat Alabama, and when you go to Bryant-Denny, you don't get beat by them.
Yeah.
And then they lost to did A&M beat or Ole Miss beat South Carolina at home? I mean, you got to win those games.
And that LSU game went to overtime, did it not? Or was that the last second?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But you win those games, and you get in the playoffs. But South Carolina's playing really good down the stretch last year. So I don't mind. They get a break right now. But, again, so much turnover in college football, you can't compare season to season. You can't do it. I mean, you can't. With the Vols, they lost Nico and other players. The other team does it too. So you can't talk about, last season, this. No, every season's unique.
I mean, are we surprised Brian Kelly's record's so poor? There's a lot of games in there. They're 30-30, whatever. But
35-37.
So under 500 against top 25, you would think that'd be better, considering all the hype that he gets.
True. But, I mean, especially when he was at Notre Dame for so long. And
I said, let's remember, he was at Notre Dame. Like, come on, Notre Dame, independent school, select their season. Like, come on now, let's not.
I'm just saying, you would think top 25, you'd get all these jobs, you'd win
more. Right. You're exactly. Oh, we got Catholic on Catholic crime here.
What's that?
You're ripping on Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I love it.
Come on.
Yeah, keep going, man. I love it.
Look,
Father won't be happy about that.
we're good. Hey, I said my rosary not too long ago, but, like, come on now. Brian Kelly, not at Notre Dame anymore, still mediocre coach.
Do you know if Clark Lee would have stayed at Notre Dame, he'd probably be the head coach.
Yeah. Clark Lee, great football coach.
What's the coach at Notre Dame now? I'd see
him. Marcus Freeman.
Great. They love him.
Yeah.
Those players absolutely love. And you see the announcement when Kelly left. And the AD walked in and said, hey, we're going to introduce you to a new coach. It was Marcus Freeman, and people went bananas.
As you know, the community that I'm, Catholic community, everybody that I know that's a Notre Dame fan was just in awe and loved it. They loved that Marcus Freeman was the next head coach.
Hey, got him to the national championship game, right?
Yeah. They wanted Brian Kelly out. They were tired of the mediocrity. They really were.
Were you tired of it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Was Nani tired of it?
She didn't care.
She's still, but if she don't care, it means she didn't get out.
Well, she watches college football, but not Notre Dame college football.
So Brian Kelly's had 72 games. He's 35-37.
Good for him and his southern fake accent.
He does have a southern fake accent. Would you want to be head coach at LSU? It's a lot.
Yes.
I absolutely, but I think he bit off more than he chewed when he went to LSU. Although he's gotten him to at least one SEC championship game.
Yeah, that was with Jaden Daniels, though.
Right. Was that 22 or 23?
22. Because wasn't Daniels in 23 with Commanders, right?
Wasn't it last year?
That was last year, so it was probably the year before.
Yeah, year before. Okay, yeah.
That all runs together so fast. And
just
all
like
that.
Bacon grease.
Just like bacon grease.
Yeah, everything goes in it.
It does as well. I know. I just thought it was interesting, but we'll throw Kalen DeBoer's record out at 15-3.
Yeah, that's – no. Can't put that in there.
No. I wonder if that – was Vanderbilt in the top 25 when they beat Alabama? I don't think so.
I don't believe so. If they were, they were right
then
on
that'd be
the
a
edge.
Loss for Kalen DeBoer in there, the top 25.
Yeah.
Through all that. I wonder, they got beat in the bowl game, didn't they, Alabama? I'm with you. I hate agreeing with you, but I agree with you on the Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah, you love agreeing with me, Joe.
On this, on there. But at the opposite lid, I wish that your boy Jeff Lebby wasn't on this list.
Yeah, I really wish he wasn't either because Mississippi State's just bad. I don't want them being recognized by anybody. I really don't. Just have them fall to the bottom of the barrel, enjoy a few cowbells and food, and that's about it.
How much longer do we get? Who was there before Lebby? The guys are for a year, right? After Mike Leach?
He was the defensive coordinator. Zach Arnett, and then he ended up getting canned immediately because when Mike Leach passed away, he was the interim head coach, and nobody wanted the Mississippi State job, and then that's when Zach Arnett was the next in line, and they're like, you know what, we're going to keep you. After that, they hired they were going to hire Jamie Chadwell from Coastal Carolina, but then Jamie Chadwell took the Liberty job, and then that's when Mississippi State was like, all right, we got to find the next best thing. And they go and get Jeff Lebby from Oklahoma.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, that went down the tube.
Poor guy.
Well, I think the reason being Jeff Lebby got that Mississippi State job was just because, you know, Oklahoma has Brent Venables as their head coach, who's a defensive-minded guy, and he excelled under a defensive-minded team. So then that makes his job a lot better. I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right, there you go. Look at you, man. I like your passion Mississippi State fan.
Yeah.
Lebby gone after this year?
I believe so. I hope he is.
Would you fire? What would you say to Lebby if you're letting him go?
Like, listen, man, I appreciate your services for Mississippi State. We'll let you keep the cowbell, but right. You got to go.
I love it. All right. There you go. Hey, I'm going to tell you about an event happening tomorrow night at the Omni National Hotel. It's called This Bar Could Talk, Songs and Stories from Barline. Starts at 5 o'clock. I'm telling you, go down there. It's free. It's a lot of fun at the Omni National Hotel. Some of the best songwriters around Nashville. It's a fun event. Of course, Barline's is incredible. It's called If This Bar Could Talk. That's tomorrow night at Barline's Omni National Hotel, starting at 5 o'clock. All right, we got the 10 o'clock hour straight ahead. Lots more for you. Right here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game.